Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
I hope you're having an amazing Christmas, New Year's, holiday season. This is it's been a great year for all of us. Obviously, Donald Trump winning the election has changed everything. Everybody I meet is in such a good mood. This season of giving has turned into a season of giving and joy. Folks, I really appreciate everything you guys did. I have a producer's pick show for you today because I want to give everyone some nice, cool content for the year. These guys pick out the best stuff. You're going to love the show. The ultimate sleep refresh for the new year is Beam's Dream Powder. Get up to 45% off for a limited time at shopbeam.com/Bongino. Use code Bongino at checkout. Also, I hope you have a very happy new year. I think 2025 is going to be absolutely bonkers, and I mean that in a really good way. Things are about to change. But today's show brought to you by Helix Mattress. You know, ever since I've been sleeping on a Helix, this is now my second one, I wake up refreshed every morning. You know, I was talking about trouble sleeping. You got to get yourself a good mattress. You're on it 8 to 10 hours a night sometimes. Why would you get yourself a bad mattress? Helix is an award-winning mattress brand. They can help you figure out which mattress will work best for you. And once you get the mattress delivered, you can finally get some comforting sleep. I'll bet you become obsessed with Helix like I am. Right now, for my listeners, Helix is offering 25% off site-wide, plus 2 free Dream Pillows for all mattress orders. Plus, you'll get the free bedding bundle, which includes 2 Dream Pillows, a sheet set, and a mattress protector with any Lux or Elite mattress order when you order at helixsleep.com/Dan. That's H-E-L-I-X, helixsleep.com/Dan for 25% off site-wide, plus 2 free Dream Pillows for all mattress orders. And if you order a Lux or Elite mattress, you'll also get the free bedding bundle, which includes 2 Dream Pillows, a sheet set, and a mattress protector. So go to helixsleep.com/Dan and get this amazing offer. Now back to the show. Kamala Harris is pathetic. She's weak. She has no ability to extemporaneously think on the spot. She's not clever. She's not likable. She's none of these things. This debate ended her entire presidential campaign, and she had to take a backbencher seat to the oatmeal god. This is a classic. Check this out.
I want to bring the conversation back to the broken criminal justice system that is disproportionately negatively impacting black and brown people all across this country today. Now, Senator Harris says she's proud of her record as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record. There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California. And she fought to keep cash bail system in place that impacts poor people in the worst kind of way.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Senator Harris.
Absolutely bodied by Tulsi Gabbard. Done. That was the end of her campaign. Oh, look, it hasn't happened yet. Shit, I thought we missed it. He says it's Monday, August 19th. If you look it on the screen, you know what, though? You just made a mistake. Use Wikipedia, so I don't trust that. It may have already happened. I told you guys. It's not allowed on the show ever. Folks, double check that. Folks in the chat, is that the actual day? She is not even the nominee. She can't debate for shit. So does Trump team? Yeah, you should debate her. Definitely. But you're under no obligation whatsoever to agree to rules you agreed to with Biden. Not her. It's not our fault the Democrats suck and can't pick a nominee and pick the guy with a cognitive disorder. And now they're going to the number 2 who never made it out of Iowa. By the way, here's who Kamala really is again. We're going to show you the real Kamala on this show. Everyone out there, get your pencils ready. Because I see these clips appearing over and over. Keep playing them. Here's Kamala Harris on 18 to 24-year-olds. If you're in that cohort, that group of young men and women out there, listen to the show. Brothers and sisters, it's an honor to have you here. Much love, man. I'd pound my heart, but my elbows don't work. Kamala Harris thinks you're a bunch of freaking morons. I don't. I'm happy to have you here. Check this out.
Remember, age is more than a chronological fact. What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid. That is why we put them in dormitories, and they have a resident assistant. They make really bad decisions.
There's your gal right there. You love the economy, the shit economy, real wages going down. What's Kamala going to say about that? I guarantee you she tries to slowly partition this off and go, oh, the economic stuff. Well, yeah, that's Joe Biden. I have a new vision. Vistas going forward. Kamala, 2024, new vision of the economy. I got nothing to do with that old stuff. Winky, winky, nod, nod. Really? Here's Karine Jean-Pierre just yesterday saying, yeah, Kamala Harris was a critical partner in all of these economic plans that led to your wallet getting lighter. It's not me saying it. It's them saying it. Check this out.
She's been doing this job with the president for almost 4 years. She's a former senator and has been a critical partner in getting the economy restarted.
Restarted? That's freaking hilarious. Woman's a communist. The woman is a straight up communist. No, it's a fact. Ladies and gentlemen, communism, socialism, progressivism, because they're all euphemisms for the exact same redistribution schemes. The central tenet of them is this. Whatever you earn doesn't belong to you. It belongs to someone else, whether they earned it or not. They call this now equity. It's a buzz term for communism. It's a buzz term for redistribution. Redistribution means stealing from you to give to someone else. Listen to me. No system is perfect, but there isn't a system of economic growth anywhere on planet Earth that can match the wealth and prosperity development of capitalism. That's a fact, and you're a freaking moron. If you think other words, get the hell off my show. You're too stupid to watch me. Go somewhere else. Go watch the Young Turks. That's a fact. You look at the poorest places on Earth, North Korea, communist-run redistributionist economies, they're run by the exact same bullshit that you should take from others and give to someone else. Now, of course, in order to sell this bullshit, communists like Kamala, freaking communists like Kamala, what do? They've got to sell you on this line that, my gosh, some people are born with disadvantages, so you've got to steal from others to give to them. And then you hear this if you're a dopey person, a stupid person who's susceptible to communist ideas, and you're like, yeah, that's right. Some people are born with privileges. Yeah, some people are. And a lot of people who get really wealthy and successful aren't. Folks, my father was a plumber. That's a fact. He was a building inspector, and he's a good man, and he busted his ass to give me opportunities. You know where my mother worked? Goldman Sachs, right, Dan? No, Finest Supermarket, the checkout counter, for $3 an hour. Why should I have to give my earnings that I busted my ass for, or anyone else, forget me, to someone else who didn't earn them? And by the way, how do you know someone who doesn't have what I have or other people who are prosperous, maybe like yourself, your upper middle class or whatever, how do you know they weren't born with a silver spoon and pissed it away? Started doing drugs, partying. How do you know that? You don't know shit. Stay the fuck out of my life. Get out of my life. You don't know shit about me. You didn't earn a damn thing, Kamala, and you know it. You didn't earn squat. You got ahead because of political patronage. Are you shitting me talking about equity and stealing other people's stuff? This woman is a straight up freaking communist. Listen to this.
It has to be about a goal of saying everybody should end up in the same place. And since we didn't start in the same place, some folks might need more. Equitable distribution.
Giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place.
So there's a big difference between equality and equity. Equality suggests often everybody should get the same thing. Well, that often assumes everybody started out in the same place, as opposed to equity, which is everyone should end up in the same place. And if you then understand not everybody started out in the same place, you understand some people need more. So we all end up in the same place, right?
We all end up in the same place. This woman is a freaking communist. She is a communist. You're telling me your dad or your mom or your kids who took a risk and busted their ass. I left my freaking job. I nearly lost my house to do it because I believed in something. That someone who didn't take that risk and maybe sat on their fat freaking ass is entitled to my earnings or your earnings because they sat around and didn't do anything and we should all end up in the same place. She is a freaking communist. That is it. You can play all the word games you want. Kamala Harris is a communist. You want communism, vote Kamala Harris. Play that clip everywhere. We should all end up in the same spot. Can you imagine? This is Florida. It's 95. It's pretty hot this week, is it not, Justin? There's this guy, this crew of people busting their ass. We had this problem over there. We had to get a bunch of big rocks because there's this big land erosion problem. Rocks, folks. I mean, like, boulders. There's like five guys over at this property moving these things. You're telling me these guys busting their ass that their earnings should be redistributed to some slob eating Twinkies on the freaking couch who doesn't want to do jack shit because Kamala, who never did shit her entire life and has been a product of political patronage, said so? I don't owe you shit, man. Get off your ass and you do your own freaking work. I don't owe you anything. Zero. Jack shit and Jack left town. Go to work. Lazy freaking bums. This communist bullshit she's spouting appeals to one group of people only. Lazy freaking bums. Go to work. It's the United States of America. Find a job. You know how many toilet bowls I cleaned? How many mausoleums I cleaned in Mount Carmel Cemetery on Cypress Hill? How many newspapers I delivered when my friends were out drinking? I had to go to sleep to do my paper out in the morning. Working two jobs as a police cadet and in a freaking supermarket stocking shelves. I don't owe you shit. We should all end up in the same place. Bullshit. And what, we should all get favors from LA, San Francisco connected liberal wannabe politicians like you did? Freaking phony bullshit artist. That's exactly what this woman is. And she's a freaking communist. You just heard her say it. Flags in the chat, please. The arrest of the Telegram CEO, I'm convinced, is part of a new Russiagate coming up. I don't know how they're going to do it exactly, but there was a raid recently on two specific figures who have done some commentary with a Russia-based network. They're going to somehow, I believe, tie that and the arrest of the Telegram CEO to some fake, phony Russian effort again to steal the election. I know what you're thinking. There's no way they're going to go back to Russiagate Part 7. Yes, they will, because the media, I promise, will cover for them. Don't tell me what they won't do. Tell me what they did. Because what they did, the past is prologue. They will do again. Here's what I mean. In addition to the Telegram CEO, who is, I'm almost 100% certain, going to be tied to some Russiagate fake story again, and you got the flag in the chat, they're also starting to panic. They're starting to realize, if Kamala Harris is really up 7 points in this poll we just saw coming out today, which is ridiculous. Again, I'm not a red wave guy, as you know. I don't buy any of this Kamala Harris BS at all. This is all AstroTurf, folks. There is zero chance she is up 7 nationally. Zero. Zero. If they were up by that amount, they would not be panicking like this. Cornel West is a very, very far left guy. Extremely far left guy. You may have seen him on Fox and other CNN networks and elsewhere. He's been around forever. Cornel West is running too. Well, his name is on the Michigan ballot, a state that if Kamala Harris is up and you believe the polls, I don't. If you do, she's only up by a little and it's within the margin of error. So the Democrats remarkably are trying to pull Cornel West's name from the ballot because he's liberal and may pull from Kamala Harris, while simultaneously keeping RFK on the ballot to siphon votes from Trump. Here's Cornel West in a media hit directly saying that someone's been offering to pay off some of his campaign debt to make sure he gets off the ballot. You want to talk about collusion? It's right here. This isn't me saying it. This is him saying it. Listen.
Did they, just one more on this, did they offer you a cabinet position, a lower position, and offer to pay off any of your campaign debt?
Well, they offered serious substantive conversation about all of those that could lead toward some real
gotcha.
Possible, you know what I mean?
And,
now, folks, keep in mind, if the situation were reversed and the RNC was throwing around money to get people off the ballot, it would be the biggest freaking media story of our time. But because it's the left in Cornel West, right over the head, no one wants to talk about it. But the good news is you are here on the most popular live stream news program in the world, the Bongino Army. We dominate, and we make no apologies for it. We dominate cable news, everything else. So you're ahead of the story. Now, if the Republicans had any cojones, they'd be investigating this right now, because that sounds like a pretty serious charge. Sounds like election interference to me. Greg Price is all over this on Twitter. He's like, you can't make this up. The Michigan Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, is denying RFK's request to remove his name from the ballot, but just attempted to remove Cornel West from the ballot, losing a court case she's now appealing. Sounds to me like election interference. You see what she's doing, right? I mean, I'm sorry to misstate the obvious, but Cornel West is a very far left liberal. So people who don't like Kamala Harris, now that she's flip-flopping on some of these positions, might vote for Cornel West and siphon votes from Harris. RFK's now endorsed Trump. So if they really don't like Trump and RFK is on the ballot, but they hate Kamala Harris, now they have an option. You see exactly what she's doing, right? There appears to be a massive colluding circle of people interfering in the election in a critical swing state that could very well decide this entire election. Now, again, in case you think that I'm crazy when I say something big is about to happen before the election, they are not going. By the way, tomorrow, I hate to keep teasing tomorrow. I'm sorry, but I'm still putting it together. I've got an exhaustive segment tomorrow on voting machines as well, and why we're going to need paper ballots as a backup. Doesn't mean don't vote, folks. This may be our last chance to save this thing, but it doesn't mean be stupid either about the potential for hacking. I'm going to show you left-wingers talking about it. So when they say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory, you'll know what I'm talking about. But why am I bringing this up in the context of this segment? Folks, they are not going to lose this thing without every possible legal, illegal, immoral, and unethical effort to stop Donald Trump. They're not. And I'm just begging you as a friend, listen to me, please. I am your friend, I promise you. I have no dog in this fight. My skin in the game is purely ideological. I want to advance conservatism. I think Donald Trump's the best vehicle to do it. I'm telling you right now, we have got to win this thing, and they are not going to stop. I am trying to get you mentally prepared. That way you can respond immediately on Twitter, Facebook, True Social, and you are ready. And that way you won't be swayed. Say you're a moderate. Some people listen to the show who aren't really diehard conservatives. I don't want you to be swayed by bullshit narratives going forward. Here's the same Secretary of State in Michigan, Jocelyn Benson, issuing a, just like Merrick Garland the other day, threatening people using the January 6th thing. You saw it. I played the video the other day. Here's the Michigan Secretary of State, again, in a not even veiled threat that you better damn well certify this election, even if you have questions. It's just not a veiled threat she makes. It's an open one. You think they're going to just go down quietly? Good luck. Check this out.
If someone were to violate the law and not certify the election at the local level, we will come for you. So any local certifier thinking of skirting the law and not certifying the vote, don't even think about it, because we'll get.
Well, you folks, again, folks in the chat, you think I'm just throwing this out there? It's a conspiracy theory. They're a conspiracy theory from who? You just heard her say it. She's threatened, along with Merrick Garland, they are threatening you. They have to certify the, what if there's something legitimately wrong with the election? Like the vote count doesn't match up with the amount of people who showed up to vote. You better certify it. Winky, winky, nod, nod, or we'll be cracking down on you too. Remember January 6th? Folks, we're living in a police state now. I did a whole movie on this. Entire movie on this. You're living in a police state right now, not tomorrow. Look at this now, this tweet out of Brazil. The Brazilian Supreme Court going after Elon Musk now. You've got the Telegram CEO now being charged, indicted in France. You got the Telegram CEO. You now got this kid. The Brazilian Supreme Court minister, Alexandre de Moraes, has issued a summons for Elon Musk and threatened to ban X in Brazil in 24 hours. You think this is an accident that we're 60 plus days out from the most important election to overturn global elites in the swamp, their hegemonic rule over the entire globe for the last 50, 60 years? You think this is all an accident? There isn't a single show that is going to prepare you better for what's coming than this show. Folks, be ready. This is why, again, can I say this one last time? And I'm apologizing in advance for the redundancy, but I promise you and assure you, I am deeming it absolutely critical to winning this election. You have got to vote early and bank your vote. If there are problems with the machines, which there will be, if there is a DDoS attack on Election Day, which I believe there may be, the DHS is already hinting at it. Whether intentional or not, they're hinting at it. If we have a Maricopa County, Arizona situation, well, we're out of printing paper. We can't print the ballots. If you vote early, you will have time to fix it. And for all the people reaching out to me with legitimate, I get it, legitimate, fair questions. Like, well, doesn't that give them time to figure out how many votes they need to cheat? If they're going to cheat, they're going to cheat on election day too, and you'll have no time to detect it. This is hands down a ground ball decision. Vote early. Vote early. The day the polls open, vote early. Go to your county board of elections website. Every single county in the country has one. Everyone. And it'll say check voter status. And you can see if they registered your vote. Screenshot it, take a picture of it. If something happens and it says you didn't vote when you did, you now have 2 to 3 weeks, depending on how long early voting is. In some states don't have it long at all. Some don't have it. You can figure it out. Please bank the vote. We can fight for a national election day with paper ballots. Once we win, we can't now. We don't have it now. We have to fight the fight in front of us, not the fight after the fight in front of us. Because if we don't survive the fight in front of us, there is no other fight. I'm only telling you, as a friend, folks. I'm not on the ballot. I'm not voting for myself. I'm not asking you for anything. I'm asking you to support other people. Hope you're enjoying the show. Folks, you having trouble sleeping or staying asleep? Listen, I've been there. It's not just about feeling tired the next day. Poor sleep takes a really devastating toll on your body. That's why I'm really excited to talk about my solution, Beams Dream Powder. It's a science-backed nighttime blend for sleep that's clinically shown to improve sleep and have you wake up refreshed and ready for the day. They sent me some a while back. It's a game changer for me. Now, as I look ahead to 2025, I'm determined to keep the momentum going. Dream's a part of my nightly routine. It's made all the difference. Other sleep aids can cause next-day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful, all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. The ultimate sleep refresh for the new year? Try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder and get up to 45% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/Bongino and use code Bongino at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/Bongino. Use code Bongino for up to 45% off. Now back to the show.
I'll go around. I want all your takes on this because this is critically important. The problem we have with the
2020 election and all the shenanigans is the legitimate stuff that they fleeced this thing was sitting right in front of our face. And a lot of stuff got spun up. And I swear it was the biggest psyop ever. They got all of us distracted with other stuff. That's what I'm terrified with this. Shining objects, like, was there a second shooter? There's no evidence of that. And frankly, it's distracting us from asking about the first shooter. Like, who was this guy? Why are we talking? We have enough to go on right now. Listen, if later on evidence surfaces that there were two more shells that were found, I am happy to entertain it. But we have enough going on with the first shooter. So I want your all of your takes on this. I'll start with you, Congressman Roy, and we'll go around this way. Congressman Crane Mills, and then Mark. Who was this guy working with? He may have been working with no one at all, but you don't find it a little strange? Again, the digital footprints have been wiped out. The body was apparently like quickly autopsied and turned over for cremation. And one of the biggest scandals of American government security failure in American history. And then we find out just days later, Merrick Garland, who I don't trust as far as I can throw him, that's not very far, is like, oh, look, we've got this Iranian infiltration into the United States, and it's a direct threat to President Trump. We knew about, by the way, 3 years ago. You can actually go look it up. There's something going on here.
You notice that anytime the narrative isn't, the facts of some event don't fit their narrative, that they sweep it aside.
Right.
Las Vegas shooting. I mean, how often do they talk about that?
Zero.
Do they ever want to go see the truth on it? Still no answers, right? And you can go through example after example where all right, we don't like, even the Nashville shooting, they did not want in that school, right? They did not want to get into the background and the diary and all the stuff of the individual that was transgender or whatever in that shooting in the Christian school in Nashville. So here you've got this, right? And what happens? It just gets swept aside. And again, the reason we're doing this forum is that 6 weeks ago Saturday, I think, if I have my dates correct, 6 weeks ago Saturday, President Trump was shot. And we act like that didn't occur as a nation. That is extraordinary on its face. So you're asking questions, and I said before, law enforcement guys, you know, we're like, well, you don't want to make too many leaps, particularly publicly. But it's certainly all the questions you're raising are the questions we need to pursue. That, you know, the digital footprint question, how this guy, literally how he was able to be there flying a drone the day that the former president and the Republican nominee would be on a stage, flying a drone literally the same day, just a couple of hours before the event. How does that happen? Do you believe, well, that's just a colossal failure of incompetence? And by the way, they don't even want to pursue that. But I don't believe that. Okay, I'm going to get too far down the road. I don't believe that all of that's just accidental. I don't believe that this is all just incompetence.
Or if it is, just put a brief out on it.
Exactly.
Congressman Crane, you addressed FISA before. So we have this massive unconstitutional spying apparatus going on where we're like, well, we spy on American citizens occasionally, not willingly. Now, remember Clapper, not wittingly. Like, but it's happening. Everybody knows it's happening. There's been IG reports about the whole thing. There's no communications with this kid anywhere. There's not a single leak. There's not a Facebook picture, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok. It's just, again, I'm not making any leaps. Right. I'm just telling you the facts. And if you're forced to make a choice, gun to the head, like, is there something shady here or not? You're like, this is kind of weird.
Yeah, you know, I may be the only one on this panel, but I'm not really willing yet to say wholeheartedly that I don't believe there's not a possibility for a second shooter. There's a guy named John Colin, I believe. He put a video out that had some evidence that, you know, I think this task force should take a look at. And it showed the bullet traveling down the bleachers and the trajectory and the angle of this bullet and the flight path and it disturbing people's clothes and one guy hits the deck and then it hitting the railing and you see the puff of the railing. It was not in line at all with Crooks, who's over here. It was this way. So I'm not willing to go there yet and say, hey, I know for a fact it was Thomas Crooks who acted alone. But going back to Chip's point of I don't believe that the FBI is going to get to the bottom of this. And even if they did, I don't believe that they would give us the truth. I don't believe their story about the J6 pipe bomber. And I know you have questions about it too, Dan. You know, just
I'm telling you on my reputation, I've said in front of my audience, guys, you don't ever have to talk to me again if I'm wrong. It is going to be the biggest scandal in modern American political history when they come out and go, oh, it was a training exercise. 100%. There is not a single chance in hell an EOD Secret Service team missed that bomb. There isn't. There is no chance. The dog is not political. The dog smells black. You guys know. The dog smells black powder from 50 yards away. The dog's going to do something. The dog didn't do it. There is zero chance that bomb was, it was placed there, and they're going to say later on it was a training exercise. I don't trust these people at all, and that's why I'm not willing to throw anything out either. I just, you know.
And Dan, I actually questioned Christopher Wray, Director Wray, in Homeland Security earlier this year, and I said, I asked him if he knew how many individuals were arrested going into the Capitol, and I can't remember exactly what it was. It was several hundred. I think it was close to 1,000, if not over 1,000. And many of those people, Dan, as you know, were just, they were actually allowed into the Capitol. Okay. Whether they should have gone, whether they shouldn't have gone, that's not the issue. But I asked him, so are you telling me, sir, that the FBI couldn't find the one individual that could have committed multiple mass casualties? You guys could arrest all these other people, right, but you couldn't find the one person. And he said, no, you know, Congressman, we're working on it. We've got, you know, a task force on it and all this stuff. I don't believe it.
Can
for
I
a
break
second,
some
Dan.
News to you guys?
Yeah,
I was going to do it in tomorrow's show, but being that you're all here, you probably need to hear it anyway. So again, I'm promising you, this is as well placed a source as you're going to get. I wouldn't spin your wheels. Texted me this weekend and was there working on January 6th that day. And when the pipe bomb incident went down and there was this initial chaos, him and his team were told, oh yeah, go take a look and we're going to investigate and look for this guy, this subject. And then they were told just hours later specifically to stand down, but never given a reason. The story just makes no sense. And, you know, granted, this is a Secret Service panel about that incident, but they are deeply involved in this other security failure as well. So maybe I'll just throw that question out as well. If you guys want to comment, fine. If not, I totally understand. But there's simply no chance that this explosive device is there. The Democrats and the media have been telling us all we're MAGA fascists who engaged in an insurrection to take out the government. They have prima facie evidence of it, a pipe bomb trying to take out the VP-elect, who's a Democrat, and we're the ones doing us, literally. Like, we're like, let's get that guy. No one else wants to talk about it. Not Benny Thompson. You saw Massey go after Benny Thompson. Benny Thompson's like, I don't know nothing about nothing. The January 6th report, there's a whole big thing about grandma who got arrested for trespassing. There's nothing about a bomb out in front of the Capitol. The Secret Service texts disappear. It appears the camera footage has been manipulated. The FBI can't seem to find this guy. And the cell phone he calls from the night before, they're telling us this is the bomber. The cell phone company, mysteriously, only those records are corrupted. Nobody in the January 6th, well, they got all of them, but not this guy. Like, it just stinks, Congressman, and nobody trusts these people.
Well, here's the thing that's very interesting. You know, we talk about the J6 and all the amount of resources and assets that went in to try and make us all the tinfoil cap insurrectionists under the MAGA community. Why is it that they are able to utilize cell phone pings for J6, but they can't for J13? Why can't we do a cell phone ping to determine who's in the AGR building, who was actually on the grounds, who had done travel back and forth between D.C., and we were told, and again, not taking anything off, but the person that Thomas Crooks was actually in touch with, they had tracked that he had been going back and forth to D.C., and it just so happens that the building area that he was having the meeting with is very close to the FBI headquarters. When we look at this, when we talk about things like who is Maxwell Yurick, who is, you know, the individuals who are in the room that had to leave that didn't have the data card entry at the time of the actual kind of ascension onto the roof. Who was this is the whole point. They want to continue to try and bring up the fact to try and paint one party for political purposes. And yet we were the ones saying it doesn't matter who the actual intended target was, Republican or Democrat alike. Let's go after whoever that individual is. Let's get the facts for the American people. Let's get the justice that the American people deserve. But you don't see that on the opposite side.
No.
You don't see that. Where's Merrick Garland coming forward with this Department of Injustice to say, hey, I'm pledging all of my assets to go ahead and ensure that we get to it. We're going to go ahead and look at all comms platforms. We're going to talk to every one of the cell phone, you know, companies that were in the area. If you are out there, you'll see there's two satellite cell towers that are sitting within 100 yards of the actual. We can't get access to that. I mean, there's too many questions that arise here.
Yeah, who and was to
your,
in that
and to your point, when it came to FISA, direct violations of, we all swear an oath to a constitution, it's direct violations of your Fourth and Sixth Amendment rights with rights to have an actual warrantless search is what they're trying to claim. No, you're supposed to have a warrant for a proper search and seizure, no illegal search and seizure, as well as for a right to be tried in a court before your peers. They're denying that when they violate things like FISA 702, where they got 287,000 plus violations they've admitted to, which in my opinion, if they admitted to 287, it's like a body count. It's probably more like 300,000, 400,000. But my whole thing is that we should be pledging the same amount of resource assets to the J-13 incident as they were willing to pledge to paint us in a certain light on the J-6.
Yeah. Mark, on the January 6th and unfortunately the assassination attempt as well, again, there seems to be this persistent effort, as you indicated before, to just not share information when these are literally taxpayer-funded entities whose job is to share information with us. It breeds this, not only this discontent, but this distrust, right, where if an investigation is to come out and it, let's say, just hypothetically speaking, say the FBI does a free and fair investigation, right? And they come to the conclusion, Crooks worked alone. He had no digital footprint because whatever, he was some life loser and he just didn't want to do it. And nobody wanted to talk to him online, whatever. The sad thing is nobody's going to trust them at all because their reputation has been so tarnished by J6 and how they handled the pipe bomb and everything else.
Dan, I couldn't have said it better myself. And this is, I'm going to spend 20 years in the FBI. It hurts for me to agree with you on that.
Can imagine.
But that's the fact, right? That's the reality we have to face. And another thing, Director Ray, that I really go hard at him is if you see him every time he's questioned by these gentlemen here and others is, and when they question their motives, what does he do? He gets mad.
Oh, yeah.
He gets angry,
yeah,
right?
Very.
I'm like, that's your job. I led CBP, the largest law enforcement organization in the world. And every time I stood in front of a gentleman like this, that was part of my job to take the incoming because that's part of their job. The American people elected them to go and challenge people like me and the director to question everything that they do. That's their job. And when you have a director like that that gets indignant, how dare you question our motives? No, that's exactly what we should be doing in this country. And like you said, there's a lot of reasons and examples why American distrust the FBI right now. And I'll go back to the lack of transparency. I'll go back to Uvalde too. Again, Governor Abbott, it was within a week after the shooting. What did they do in that press conference? They went through a detailed timeline of the shooter, a detailed. Folks, I'm telling you right now, we have that with the assassination attempt from President Trump.
Yeah.
They have that detailed outline. They could get up there and hold a press conference and go through, and I think they could address some of these questions about a second shooter or this or that, all these conspiracies, because they're not being honest and transparent with the American people. Therefore, everybody and all the conspiracy theories are filling the void with stuff when they could address it right now.
Hey, it's time to be awake, not woke. Start your day with a hot, bold, never bitter, cup of the most delicious coffee out there. Blackout Coffee, they use premium-grade coffee beans. Premium. They ship within 48 hours of roasting. The taste is incredible. They got cinnamon French toast, blueberry crumble. You got your standard coffee flavors. You got dark chocolate. Absolutely delicious. The official coffee of the Bongino Army. Premium beans, they taste like it. It's the real deal. Don't drink that woke corporate junk brown water crap. Drink real coffee. Blackoutcoffee.com/Bongino. Use coupon code Bongino for 20% off your first order. Make the switch to Blackout Coffee. You're going to love it. Hey, did you get the gift you wanted this holiday season? If not, GenuCells extended their Christmas sale and your chance to get GenuCells jawline treatment with dual peptide and MDL technology. GenuCells' most advanced ever. The jawline treatment not only helps tighten the saggy jawline, but helps plumps the layers of your skin to help contour and sculpt the jawline and that whole neck area. You know, people go abroad. They spend tons of money to get rid of their sagging jawline. You should try GenuCell first because no one has the technology. No one else. You can see tightening in minutes. The results get better every day. And for a limited time, save over 70% on GenuCell's complete skincare package featuring the jawline treatment and GenuCell's immediate effects. You'll even get GenuCell XV wrinkle treatment included this holiday season. It doesn't get any better than that. So go to GenuCell.com/Dan today and start looking years, even decades younger tomorrow for those holiday gatherings. That's GenuCell.com/Dan. And as a special gift, every package order includes a bonus beauty box with two skincare bestsellers. All orders are automatically upgraded to free priority shipping. GenuCell.com. GenuCell.com/Dan. Check it out. You're going to love it. All right. Now let's get to the news du jour. I promise I'm going to tell you this story and it's going to blow your mind. I'm not holding it unnecessarily. I just want to get to this first because we've got a freaking election to win. And yesterday, this prisoner exchange happened, which is great. We want our people home. I get it. Period. Full stop. I say that with the purest of hearts. However, ladies and gentlemen, the details matter. And not only me, but some other conservative outlets are now starting to ask questions like, hey, man, what did we give up for this deal? Because if we gave up a lot of people and Putin got the better end of the deal, doesn't Putin figure out he could just take more Americans and get the better end of the deal all the time? We've got to ask these questions. They're hard questions, but we got to ask them. Here was Kamala Harris at the airport. Finally, an unscripted moment. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why I don't want to hear any bullshit about a red wave. We're in a fight. Make no mistake. But all the Debbie Downers out there, oh my gosh, we're going to lose. Get our asses kicked by Kamala Harris. Remember, you are still dealing with someone who is really not bright and cannot even remotely speak extemporaneously at all. Here she gives another one of her word salads in an answer to a question about this special moment where we get the prisoners back. Check this out. Check this out.
This is just an extraordinary testament to the importance of having a president who understands the power of diplomacy and understands the strength that rests in understanding the significance of diplomacy and strengthening alliances. This is an incredible day.
You see how whenever she's forced to speak off the cuff, she repeats herself over and over, unburdened by the pay. She does this all the time. It's because she has nothing to say and she gets lost in her own words. Biden's a better public speaker with level 72 brain damage than she is. She's really terrible. And Donald Trump asked the question on his True Social account yesterday that me and a lot of other people were asking. When are we going to get the details on this prisoner swap? Are they extorting the United States? They're calling the trade complexity notes. That's because nobody can figure out how bad it is. Folks, I'm really sorry we have to ask real, honest questions. I'd love to just celebrate this whole thing. It's great we got our people back, and we should do everything in our power to do that. But the world isn't a simple place. Donald Trump is asking a legitimate, fair, proper, appropriate question I wish more people on the left would ask. What did we have to give up for this? Because does it incentivize in the future more American hostage taking? All right, let me get to this. I'm going to get back to, I'm not done with that, by the way. And if I don't get back to it today, I'll get to it on Monday and on the radio show because this is really, really important. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. You know, let me just tell you the story up front because I hate teasing stuff. You get the Guardian one, right? I'm sorry, guys. Go out of order. I mean, you can just get back on track. Put the Guardian story up. I'm reasonably confident I've never told this story on the air. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is, and I don't hide things from you. This was a story about an incident that happened a long time ago, and it wasn't related to the news. I do a news show, not the Dan Bongino news show, okay? I give you a short weekend update on Monday, and I generally try to keep the show about current events because that's what matters, not about my personal life. It's not like the Howard Stern show. Let me tell you about my limo driver this morning. Like, we don't do that here. I want you to look at the date in this story, August 2nd. Is that really? Is August that the actual date? Wow. Oh, it's today. I didn't even look at the date. I knew it was 2018. Weird. August 2nd, 2018, The Guardian. Suspected Russian spy found working at the United States Embassy in Moscow. Now, leave that up for a second, please. Why am I putting this story up now? Because, ladies and gentlemen, that story directly involves this guy. Dan, you knew there was a Russian spy in the embassy in Moscow? Yeah. Why? Because I was in the Russian embassy in Moscow when she was there. Now, why is this important right now to the Secret Service story? Because I've been telling you, and for those of you out there, let me just cut off an impulse. I'm not talking about the P1 listeners and the people who are listening to them. I'm talking about the people whose instinct is always to ask some question before I've even finished the statement. For those of you out there saying, well, Dan, if you knew this, what did you do about it? One, I'm going to get to that. And second, they said, well, why didn't you highlight this stuff? I did. I wrote actual books about it, three of them, Life Inside the Bubble, The Fight, and Protecting the President. I've given interviews about it. I've spoken to members of Congress about it. I've spoken to Secret Service insiders interested in changing about it. There's nothing else you could do to try to change the Secret Service. Nothing. There's nothing else you could do. I have done everything I can to try to fix this broken place, including warning you repeatedly that someone was going to get killed if they didn't, and now someone did. Corey Comparator murdered in front of his family, and Donald Trump shot in the head. There is nothing else I could have done. I am absolutely confident telling you that. Everything I could do, I did. They don't want to change. It required someone to get killed and Donald Trump to get shot in the head for there to be enough political attention on the matter that they're willing to change. Let me tell you the story, okay? Because this speaks to the culture of dysfunction and risk aversion at this broken agency that should not survive intact after this. Back in the early 2000s, I was an instructor in our training center. I was sent on a temporary assignment over to Russia. I volunteered for it. Moscow. We had a what they call an RO, a resident office over there. If I'm boring you with the details, please stop me in the chat. But the story and the details matter. I was sent over as a temp. I was there a little over a month because the guy there before, a guy by the name of Charlie, I'll leave last names out of it. A guy by the name of Charlie was what they call PNG'd. Persona non grata, meaning the Russians kicked him out of the country. It's a long story as to why, but it was a retaliatory measure for something the United States did to a Russian here. Because the Russians, they never do what they're telling you. This is why I love when people tell me about Russia. I don't know. I've been there twice. I know a lot about Russia, probably more than most journalists. The Russians do things they can put in a paper to make it look like they're sticking it to the United States. Because we have the name the Secret Service, even though there's nothing secret about us, it's a protection agency, they knew the average Russian citizen would think we were like spies, like the CIA. So instead of kicking out the FBI that actually does intelligence overseas, what they did is they kicked out the Secret Service guy, Charlie, because they could put Secret Service. They'd be, oh my gosh, we kicked the spy out. You get it? The Russians, though, however, didn't want to burn their relationship with the United States. So they said, tell you what, we're going to wink and nod and kick your permanent guy out, this guy Charlie, who was the boss over there, but we're going to let you rotate agents in. I was the second group of agents that got rotated in. It was two people at a time. Here's where the story gets bananas. You guys don't know this, right? I never told you this. The guy I got sent over with to work the Russia office in Moscow in our embassy for a good amount of time is now the boss of Donald Trump's detail. Does this whole story make sense now? I've known this guy 20 years. It's the same guy. Let's call him Jack. It's the same guy. So when me and him were in Moscow, we noticed something interesting. I'm going to ask you to put that piece up again in a second. The Secret Service had hired an FSN. FSN is short for a Foreign Service National. Her name was Anna. That's her real name. Well, that's what she told us her real name was. I'm not going to mention her last name because it doesn't really matter, but her name was Anna. And from the first night, let's just call this other agent I was with, Jack. From the first night, we realized that Anna was very, very suspicious and odd. Anna would ask a lot of questions, totally inappropriate for someone hired as basically an administrative assistant. And we noticed that Anna had a really unusual interest in a lot of what the Secret Service did. Ladies and gentlemen, we noticed this on day one. So this other agent and I, Jack, we started talking to each other and we said, this is kind of a problem. By the end of the first week, we knew absolutely that this woman was probably a spy. We would go and meet with the Russian FSB, the former KGB, and they would know her right away. Oh, hey, Anna, how are you? And we would look at each other like, but I mean like know her. I don't mean like, hey, did we meet? I mean like, oh, hey, how are you? Couldn't have been more obvious. The woman was up to no good. So this other agent, Jack and I, who's now running Donald Trump's detail, by the way, he was smart. Known this guy a long time. He said, I think we should do the right thing and notify Secret Service headquarters. I said, you're damn right. That's what we're going to do. So that's exactly what we did. We sent emails back saying, listen, the gist of it is you got a freaking spy in here. We took all of our manuals and everything else, and we put them up on a different floor, let's say, in the embassy to make sure she couldn't see them. But she had access to them the whole time. Manuals, like protection manuals and everything else. We sent that email thinking they would get back to us, the management, and be like, oh my gosh, great job, guys, like farming out a spy here, like, you know, fishing out a spy, right? That's not the response we got at all. The response we got was basically, how do I say this? Go fuck yourself? Pardon the language, folks, but that was basically it. Like, you guys should probably shut your pie holes and never mention this again, which we were like, no. And we sent back another email. Put up that article again. Notice the date on this article. August 2nd, 2018. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't pinpoint the exact time I was there. Forgive me. I just don't remember. But I'm telling you, it was around 2004, 2005. Dan, this article is from 2018, 14 years later. What? You're saying you sent an email with your guy and it took them 14 years to figure it out? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. And notice the Secret Service's statement 14 years later. Their statement is, at no time in any Secret Service office have FSNs, like Anna, Foreign Service Nationals, been provided or placed in a position to obtain national security information. Right. The State Department said it wouldn't comment on allegations related to intel or personal matters, and we have no information for you on this alleged incident. Really? You sure about that? I'm willing to testify under oath that that statement is fake. I would guarantee you so is Jack, because Jack has the email, by the way.
You just heard the Dan Bongino Show.